Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly good to have everybody out today, especially this morning, and the weather may be warming up. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 13 this morning. The title of the lesson is False Promises, False Teachers Promise Much, but deliver nothing good. The lesson's about seeking the truth. It's about the value of you being right with the Lord at the right time. And false teachers will make sure you don't get there. And Ezekiel has been carried away to exile in 597 B.C. Oh, in 606, Israel prodded Nebuchadnezzar, who just beat the Assyrians, the world power, and they prodded him into carrying them away to captivity. The strongest and the brightest. Daniel went with them. Next, 10 years later, same thing happened. Ezekiel goes now. He's a priest. And it, right now we're about 6 years from Jerusalem being destroyed. Ezekiel is in exile preaching to the people who got carried away in the previous exiles. And there's false teachers there too. The first point this morning is God wants to make it clear to them that they speak from their own inspiration. Chapter 13, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, who prophesy and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. That's what you say to those people. Cut it out. You're not speaking what you want to speak, what you're dreaming up, and you're calling it my words. You go tell them, Ezekiel, listen to the word of the Lord. Knock that off. Verse 3, thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow in their own spirit and have seen nothing. Visions come to prophets to be communicated to the people of God. They haven't seen anything. He didn't send them anything. But they're proclaiming it as if it's from the Lord. And this is nothing new. You just hold your place and, look at Acts chapter 5. You know, Peter and John get carried before the council and Gamaliel's there and he pleads for wisdom here. Be careful what the council does. In Acts chapter 5 verse 36, he reminds them, for some time ago, Thutis rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. And he was slain, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. This guy Thutis came on, he's going to be the Messiah. And what happened to him? Well, somebody killed him, and there went the movement. People pop up to get followers. Verse 37, after this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. And he too perished, and those who followed him were scattered. It's not new. Verse 38. And so in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men, let them alone. For this plan or action should be of men, it will be overthrown. We don't have nothing to worry about if they're dreaming it up. And it's going to end. These guys are going to keep pushing this rebellion, and they're going to get killed, and their followers are gone. Don't need to worry about it. Peter and John are just dreaming up things, and it's of their own insurrection. Verse 39, but if it is of God, you'll not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God. We don't need to worry about false teachers. They'll get destroyed themselves. You know, in Colossians chapter 2, you know, Paul tells the church about 100 miles up the Lycus Valley eastward to Ephesus, and they're out in the middle of nowhere, and when you have less teaching, you have the potential for people dreaming up things. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. Someone's taking away their salvation. You've got to stand up. You've got to cut it out. You can't let them do that to you. Take away your prize. How are they doing it? 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels. And so worshiping God's not enough. We're going to worship lesser beings. Who dreamed that up? End of verse 18. taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Who dreamed that stuff up? And they're following it. 19, and not holding fast to the head. You have Christ as your head. Nobody's better than Christ. Him and God are one. And people can dream up stuff. And if you follow it, it's not going to give you anything good. You know, you go back to Ezekiel chapter 13, in verses 4 through 8, he brings up the little figure of foxes running among the ruins. Verse 4. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You know, here's these foxes. They're looking for food. They're looking for scraps among the ruins. There's nobody left. There's no food being eaten. God's carrying them away to captivity. He says, your prophets, they're out there looking for scraps in places where there isn't anything coming to nourish them. That's what your prophets are like in all this garbage. They're preaching what they think, what they feel, what they think they've dreamed up. They're foxes running about in ruins looking for something. You're going to end up with nothing. Verse 5. Here's the purpose of prophets. You've not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the phrase where the sun turns to darkness, the moon turns to blood, and God's coming in judgment on a local nation. That's what it always means. These prophets have not done anything constructive to prepare the people for the day when Nebuchadnezzar comes against Jerusalem. They haven't taught truth where people are going to be right with God when God's judging the city. If you're a sinner and God wipes out your city, what? You die lost. These guys haven't stood in the breach. It's their responsibility to stand up and get in the gap and stop the enemy from overtaking the people. We're not talking a little battle. We're talking about spiritually. They haven't done that. They've taught lies. They dreamed up stuff. And it hasn't going to help the people in the battle of the day of the Lord. They haven't built a wall around the house of the Lord to protect it. They've taught lies. Well, verse 6. They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, the Lord declares. All they're doing is seeing lies and they're saying it as if this is what the Lord proclaims. Notice the middle of verse 6. When the Lord has not sent them. You think God doesn't notice people telling something He didn't say? You notice the end of verse 6? Yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. They ain't heard God say anything to them. They haven't seen a real vision. And they're preaching as if it's true. And they're hoping somehow it fulfills. You know, you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles 4, about 13th book in the Bible. 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles. Remember a little book, the book of Jabez that came out? Everybody got all excited about that. You know what that was? That was false prophets. Yeah. Oh, everybody loved that book. I worked at May Company. All them religious people, oh, they loved that one. Because everybody wants what 1 Chronicles 4:10 says. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. That's Jabez. Called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. And enlarge my border. I want to be blessed and I want to be wealthier. Would you enlarge my border? I got much more land, much more cattle. And that thy hand might be with me. And that thou wouldst keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. Everybody wants to be happy. We don't want to win the lotto. See if that's going to solve your problems. It's going to multiply your problems. Immediate. You're going to have friends you didn't know. And you're going to have to leave the country. You know. Plus, you probably leave the Lord too. And God granted him what he requested. Oh, everybody wants that. So everybody's buying this book of Jabez. Because it's going to come true. It didn't come true in none of their lives. You know why? You probably need to read verse 9. This is talking about the descendants of Judah. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. The previous verse says that Jabez was more honorable. He stood out in what was right, more than his brothers. And so God answered his prayer. God answered the prayer of a righteous man. A greedy man is not going to get anything. You need the righteousness. You need truth first, or you're not going to find blessings coming your way. You know, and if you need to be careful, many false teachers will help you innocently follow something that's not going to produce anything good. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 7, did you not see a false vision and speak a lie? A lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken. Verse 8, therefore, thus says Lord God, because you spoke in falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord God. If it's not truth, He's not for you. And if you're preaching and teaching a lie, He's against you for sure. So there's nothing good. They're in exile. And the false teachers are teaching lies. This thing's not over yet. We're going to wipe out Jerusalem in 7 years, and we can finish y'all off too. We can change the way they treat you in exile. You're already there. You're a slave. You don't have no choice. You know, and second point this morning, said consequences are coming for everybody in this deal. I mean, the truth is not there. And it's just, can you imagine God having feelings? Which He does. The greatness of the Old Testament prophets is when they speak for God, you get the feeling of how He feels. They're expressing it in His place. Verse 9, so my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel. All through the Bible, there is a book with people's names in it. I won't write these people's name in the book of the registry of Israel. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. If your name's not in the book of life, you're thrown in the lake of fire and brimstone. Your name has to be in the book. Well, just turn to the next book over, Daniel chapter 12. Even Daniel knows about the book. Moses knew about the book. Revelation, six times, talks about the book of life. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as never occurred since that was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who's found written in the book, will be rescued. He says, I'm against these people. They're teaching falsehood. You're teaching something I didn't say. I didn't dream. I didn't want them to say. And their name's not going to be written in the book. Eternal damnation is what that's saying. I'm not writing their name in the book. They have no right. They taught false. They taught something different. Ezekiel 13, verse 10. It is definitely because they've misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace. There's no hope. They're saying everything's going to be okay when it's not going to be okay. You know, sometimes in life, you need to know the truth. If it's going to get worse, you probably need to get prepared. And someone telling you everything's okay, be happy, don't worry. When it's coming, it's hurting these people. And it comes on down to verse 18 and 19. Here's what false teachers produce. You got some women prophetess here, verse 18, and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic bands on all wrists and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature to hunt down lives, to hunt down souls. These false prophetesses are turning people against the righteous. And they're tracking them down and they're killing them. Oh, they got all this magical stuff, and they got this aura, these veils, and you know, that they know these secrets, and they're destroying His people. I mean, when judgment comes on a nation, especially the people of God, it's not because people are good people. It's because they're terribly bad. Remember Abraham when God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Lord, you can't do that. If I can find 50 righteous, you certainly can't do that because there's righteous people there. Now, if Sodom and Gomorrah is only 1,000 people, which is ridiculous, and 50, 95% of them are bad. If it's 200,000 and there's only 50, it's time to destroy it. And so, people aren't good people. You know, at the end of verse 18, will you hunt down the lives of my people, but preserve the lives of others for yourselves? They're getting rid of the opposition to the people that won't believe their lies, so that they get more followers. Verse 19, and for handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, it's a puny payday you're getting. At least Judas sold out for a higher price. He got a few handfuls of food, barley, a few fragments of bread. They're doing this. And for handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, you have profaned me to my people. They're speaking bad of God to His people. You don't believe in Him. He's a bad God. He's a vengeful God. He kills our people. Paul, we don't want to believe in a God in the Old Testament. You better believe in the God of the Old Testament because He's the God of the New Testament. And His Son rules heaven and earth. In Revelation chapter 12, He was born to rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's His purpose other than Savior. Verse 19, and for handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, you profane me to my people to put to death some who should not die and to keep others alive who should not live. You're getting people put to death by your lies who shouldn't be dying. And there are people living that shouldn't be living. Should be done. They're reversing it. False teaching always gets the opposite results. Protects evildoers and punishes people who do right. Well, that's what it's going to be like in the end. You notice the end of verse 19? By your lying to my people who listen to lies. My people listening to lies. There's more than anguish there. There's a lot of emotion. How can His people follow something that's not true, that's opposite His will, that's obviously not right? How hurtful is that? Verse 22. Because you disheartened the righteous with falsehood. The righteous want to do right. They want to do good. They want to follow the truth. And these people keep telling them falsehoods. That your God's not going to save you. That your God's against you. And it disheartens them. He says, because you dishearten the righteous with falsehood when I did not cause him grief. I'm not going to cause the righteous grief. I'm going to encourage them. And you're disencouraging them? And you're causing them grief when I didn't cause them grief? If God loves His people, loves the righteous, you probably need to love the righteous. End of verse 22. But have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way and preserve his life. False teachers, they make promises and nothing good comes out of it. If you're wicked, you're being encouraged not to turn from your wicked ways, you're going to die and you're going to die lost. Yeah, hell's going to be a bad place. Just your average evildoers. Just average evildoers. But what if you told guys and women lies and it cost them their soul and they're in hell and you're in hell? You better try to separate them. That's what the false teacher produces. A lot of people end up lost who shouldn't end up lost. And a lot of people who are lost never get a chance to change. You know, look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2. You know, in the New Testament, the book of Titus starts with talking about the truth. And he says in verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. Christianity is based on truth, the truth. It's based on you being able to trust the Word of God. All the devil has to do is substitute a variation. That's all he has to do for you to give it all up. When you have hope of eternal life, you've been promised, God swore He would give it to you. You have to have the truth. If you believe a lie, then you lose that hope. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, and in order that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. The truth is absolute. There's no variation. I mean, if that's God said it, that's what He declared, that's what He promised. His nature says He can't lie, and in Hebrews He swore to back it up that it was a guaranteed deal. Well, you and I have these promises from God. The truth is what the devil has to attack. You notice the end of verse 18? Who have fled for refuge and laying hold of the hope set before us. We have fled the world that's doomed, looking for the hope that's laid right there before us as Jesus entered into the presence of God on our behalf, having sacrificed His blood, His life, so that you could change from being enemies to being friends of God. You give up the truth, and I'm against you. What do we have in common if you give up the truth? Now, a false teacher is going to help you get there. You know, you look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. That in the end, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, you can wander off from the truth. The truth, not a truth. If anyone strays and somebody turns him back, verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Well, if someone strays and you help them come back to the truth, you've saved that person's soul from death, separation from God forever. And you have covered a multitude of sins in that person's life that no longer can be seen. Well, that's the benefit of Jesus. That's the benefit of the truth. You know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Freedom's found in the truth. It's never found in anything false. Anything false contradicts these verses is from the devil. And it's a false hope. And it's not going to end well, you know. Jesus put to death as a sinner. All he could do is trust in His Spirit and God. He did what was right. He was a righteous man. And God raised him from the dead because he was a righteous man. God didn't forget him. When death came and he had to pay the whole price of sin as a sinner and go to Hades, God did not abandon his soul to Hades because he was a righteous man. And he raised him up and set him at the right hand of God, where he became the mediator between sinners and God and God's holiness. You know, the truth about God is in the words of Jesus in Mark 16, 15 and 16. They put Jesus to death, and it was a horrible, horrible attack. Verbally, as he hung in this painful situation for hours. They continued the darkness and the mocking. And once he was raised from the dead, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Didn't say except some people. To every creature. The love of God. Being able to let go of what people did to him. That's the truth. Well, he could have called 10,000 angels down before, but that wasn't the will of God. He's going to do the will of God. Even if it meant dying as a sinner, cursed. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. that I died for their sins, I was buried on their behalf, and I was raised on their behalf. He who believes and has been baptized shall be saved. Hope, opportunity, that's the truth. But those who disbelieve shall be condemned. That's a sad reality. In Ezekiel's day, we've got two ways of exiles already. Where do you think this is going? We've got a prophet preaching to people, telling you people who are in exile need to quit listening to false teachers. Well, the Lord doesn't come every day. Our local judgments don't happen every week. But they certainly can start to happen. You don't want to be wrong anytime. But you don't want to be wrong if this is the day the Lord comes. Or if your nation is going to fall, you don't want to be caught on the wrong side. You want the Lord to rule your life today and every day. The truth should mean something to you. I went to school of preaching for 2 years and 8 hours a day class, 8 hours homework, 10 months a year. The only lesson I learned from it. Oh, you wasn't supposed to learn lessons. Just learn how to study. That's the point. To seek the truth no matter what. And that was the best lesson I ever learned. You know where you find God? In the truth. If you know the truth, you immediately know what's false. If you know the truth and want to follow it, God can save your soul. You need to respond anyway. Won't you come as we stand and sing?